stillness,
stillness of the midnight,
precious sacred scenes unfold.
Welcome to the Word of Life. We have new listeners every week, and I want to thank you if you're a new listener, especially today, for being a part of the family of the Word of Life. The congregations at Gentry and Colcord, Gentry, Arkansas, and Colcord, Oklahoma, have worked together for more than 4 decades. In fact, it's coming close to 5 decades, I believe, in supporting this radio program, various preachers preaching through the year. For about the last 10 years, I have been speaking on the program. My name is Bruce Potter. I'm more than glad to be speaking to you today, and more than glad to answer questions that you have. The work that these congregations have done together has been something that has been a continual inspiration. In a day when people tend to divide over every little thing, it doesn't have to be that way in faith. We have yoked together and worked together for many years in this, and I thank the congregations at Colcord and at Gentry for allowing me this forum to be able to speak to you. Now, I said a moment ago that I'm more than glad to answer your questions, to handle your comments. Let me give you an address to contact us at. Now, the Word of Life, addressed to the Word of Life, can be reached at P.O. Box 71, P.O. Box 71, in Gentry, Arkansas. And the zip at Gentry is 72734. Now, you'd be more than welcome to visit the congregation at Colcord, where Brother Larry Ellis has ministered for more than 40 years, or to visit the congregation at Gentry, where I have been involved in the ministry for a little over 19 years. We are glad to have you visit, glad to have you spend time with us. The Churches of Christ in the area here are more than glad to have your attendance anytime that you want to come and visit. The congregations at Gentry and Colcord meet at 10 o'clock for Bible class, about 11 for worship, give or take a few minutes. We usually tarry for one another, kinda, and 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. Now, if you choose to come and to visit, expect to be received warmly. You will find people probably that you know from the community. If you don't find that, you'll have a lot of new friends, and you're more than welcome to be with us there. But for right now, again, I'm glad that you've chosen to join us here on the Word of Life. We studied last Lord's Day out of Mark chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 12, the incident where Jesus was at a synagogue and a man with a withered hand there, the healing that was accomplished, the Pharisees going out to consort with the Herodians in order to destroy Jesus, Jesus retreating to the wilderness, the people following him, the prophecy that Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 42, and the statement of how people would respond, how the work of Jesus would be carried on. Today, we're going to study in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, the events that again were following that synagogue incident. If you look in Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 6 and following through about to verse 11, you'll see the same incident recorded that occurred at the synagogue, recorded in Mark 3 and Matthew chapter 12. Now, after this incident, the statement is made in those two places that Jesus went into the wilderness. Part of what he was doing was teaching the people. Then there was the statement of the prophecy made by Matthew. Here in Luke, we are reminded of the fact that also while Jesus was in the wilderness at that time, he had another very important task to accomplish. And that's what we're going to begin our study with today. In Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 12 and going down through verse 16. Now, if you will read the text with me, we'll have the basis for discussion. So Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. It was at this time that Jesus went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now the last remark that's made there about Judas Iscariot, of course, is made because Luke was writing past the time when Jesus had been crucified, buried, and risen and ascended. So the betrayal by Jesus of Judas Iscariot was known by all who were listening to the gospel account. But what we see here in this are several things that become very important to understanding the events that were transpiring in the life of Jesus. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 12 that Jesus took time to pray. Have you ever been guilty? Now, I'm going to plead guilty to this one. Have you ever been guilty of being too busy to pray? Can you imagine what the life of Jesus was like? The crowds of people around him, everybody wanting to hear what he had to say. Everybody wanted the healing that Jesus provided. All of these thousands of people, throngs of people, that each one had a life as full as any life is today. And some of them even more so. People like the centurion who came and pleaded to Jesus for the life of his servant. In John chapter 4, for instance, the ruler who came and said, "My son is ill." The woman with the hemorrhage recorded in the Gospel of Luke who would say to Jesus, "I just simply touched your cloak and I was made well." All these things multiplied by thousands. And Jesus had time to pray. Why? Why did Jesus have time to pray when we seem not to have time to pray? Well, let's talk about how Satan approaches us for just a moment. And you might think that's the furthest thing from what we're talking about that could be. But don't you think that Satan wants us to feel so busy that we don't have time to pray, we don't have time to study, we don't have time to do this or that or the other that we know that the Lord paid a high price for us to be set free to do? Praying is one of those things. You see, Jesus felt no compulsion to bow to what time constraints were placed upon people. Now, you can't say that Jesus knew he was going to live forever, and so it didn't make any difference how much time he spent on this. You can't say that, because Jesus wasn't going to live forever. You know that. Jesus had a set amount of time to accomplish in the Father's name what the Father wanted him to accomplish. Now, Jesus sets us a pattern here, a pattern that we need to understand, that before any momentous decision, it's not a bad idea to spend time in prayer. And in fact, if you want to look at what Jesus really did here, find yourself somewhere by yourself, spend the night in prayer, and make the decision in the morning. I understand there were some differences between Jesus and us. But did you notice that the scripture here, for instance, did not say that it was at this time he went off to the mountain to take a quick trip home to heaven and forget all the things that were here and discouraging and get recharged and then come back down to earth and be able to act like he didn't have to go to heaven to do this? You see, what Jesus did was the same thing that he expected us to do. He spent time in prayer so that the crushing press of events that were around him would not overwhelm him and take from him the ability to accomplish what his Father wanted. Well, the thing that he needed to accomplish here was very simple, really. What he needed to do was set up a group of men who could be, and I don't know if legacy is the right word, but it's the word that comes to mind, that could be his legacy to continue his aspiration of the saving of the world. Now, Jesus at Calvary, don't get me wrong, would accomplish the salvation of anyone who wanted to be saved. But did you notice that God doesn't keep a megaphone from heaven going in the place of having people carry out his will? You see, that's what the apostles were set in place for. The apostles were set here on this earth to accomplish the continuing will of God. If you look in the second part of this volume that Luke wrote, Luke and Acts, they are written, both of them, by Luke, you'll see in the very opening verses of the book of Acts that the former record was of what Jesus began to do and teach, which implies that Acts is the continuation of what Jesus would do and teach. In Acts, it is the work of the apostles, the work of the church, the work of the mission-minded brothers and sisters in Christ that we have, that is chronicled. Now, you got to understand something here. It is not the miraculous that accomplishes the will of God in this sense. It is the submission of his people to him, and the fact that they are willing to obey and to follow his will. So as we read these words, it was at this time that Jesus went off to the mountain to pray. He spent the whole night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to him. That is, a larger group of disciples called to Jesus. And he chose 12 of them, whom he named as apostles. Apostle is a word that in the original language written here means one who is sent, and implied one who is sent with a specific purpose in mind. The apostles were those who were to be sent. Now we're going to talk about the apostles in just a couple of minutes, but right now let's listen to another song.
He touched me and made me whole. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, and the hand of Jesus touched me. He touched me, and now I am no longer the same. For he touched me. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. My soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, I'm gonna shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy, that wonderful joy that floods my soul. Something happened.
So what we have here is a list of 12 names, 12 names that some of them would become more or less familiar to us, and some of them that would fade away as time went by as far as our knowledge goes, but not as far as their work goes. we see the list, and we have taught our children this list with songs and various ways and things like this. But I want you to consider for just a moment that these were 12 men who had a living to accomplish. Some of them had families to support. Some of them had attitudes that needed to be changed. All of them needed the work of Jesus on them. And essentially, for about 3 years, Jesus would spend time with them, training them, guiding them, shaping them, trying to help them to become those that he would entrust, as he told Peter in Matthew chapter 16, the keys of the kingdom to. And they would be the ones opening the door so that others could come in by the same faith that they came in. Now, as we look at this list, there's a representation of several different events that we have already studied and events that we have not seen yet. Now, as I said, and I want to point this out and make sure that you understand this correctly, that there are some of these that we know very little about as time goes by. Some of these are not mentioned as active in the book of Acts, but I would tell you that whether they are mentioned in Acts, the letters, or the Revelation, whether they are mentioned or not, these men, with the exception of the one who betrayed Jesus, would become, in essence, the center point of the message. Not that they would take away from preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, as Paul would later say, but instead, the understanding that, for instance, in Acts chapter 2, after the conversion of 3,000 and the continual growth of the church, that the church was abiding in the apostles' doctrine. And that is, these were the ones who were entrusted to teach and to guide, by inspiration of the Spirit, those early believers who set the pattern so that we today could know the right thing to do. Look at the names as they are. Simon, whom he also named Peter, is in chapter 6 of Luke and verse 14. Simon is one that perhaps we know nearly as much as anybody about in the New Testament. Simon Peter had some struggles. He had times when his mouth engaged before his brain did. You ever been guilty of that? Well, I can plead guilty of that one too. There are times when it just seems like my mouth gets ahead of my mind and I just wind up in a tight spot and I try to blame everybody but me, but you know, it's only my fault. It's only me. Simon Peter had his outburst, but Simon Peter loved Jesus. You remember the various events of Simon Peter's life. When Simon was called, we already looked at in the gospel accounts how he was with his fellows fishing. Jesus asked to put out a little from the shore in the boat and teach the crowd, remember? And how Simon Peter, when he saw the miraculous catch of fish that Jesus pronounced, that is, remember, he told Peter to cast the net on the other side, "Master, we worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but at your word we'll cast the net." Remember his response, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man." Maybe that echoes the experience of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 in the presence of God when he said, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips from a people of unclean lips, and I have seen the Lord." Maybe Peter was realizing that there was something different about Jesus. You remember it went all the way from that to "Never shall they crucify you" in Matthew chapter 16. "I don't know the man" after the Garden of Gethsemane and the trials. You remember, don't you? Three times Peter denied Jesus. Then he went out and wept bitterly. The restoration of Peter, though, is evidenced by the fact of Peter's role at Pentecost. It is Peter that begins speaking about verse 18 in Acts chapter 2 and talks until verse 36. Speaking of Jesus, the living one who died and buried and resurrected, and proclaiming salvation in his name to all who would repent and be baptized, so that their sins would be forgiven and the Spirit would live with them. You remember Peter. If you look here, you see Andrew, his brother. You see James and John. James and John were called by Jesus in the Gospel of John, sons of thunder. That's who they are, the sons of thunder. They had an anger. They had an irritation in them. And Jesus would have to change them. As we looked at the events of the Gospel accounts, John is very familiar to us. James dies in Acts chapter 12. You remember that Herod had him beheaded, and Peter was put in prison at that point, but released by the intervention of God. As you look, you see Philip and Bartholomew. We don't know a lot more about Philip and Bartholomew. We know a little bit more about Matthew. Matthew wrote the gospel. Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew, the one who was called by Jesus from the tax booth. We see Thomas, who we probably wrongly named Doubting Thomas. Now, it's true that he doubted the resurrection. But if you remember in John chapter 21, the others doubted the resurrection too. Let's get that in our mind. I said John 21, it's John 20. We understand that Thomas' conclusion upon seeing Jesus was, "My Lord and my God." We see James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called a zealot. From that very description there, we know that there were opposite ends of the spectrum among this group. Matthew, a tax collector who worked for the Roman government. James, or Simon, who was called a zealot, who would do anything in his power, including armed force, to throw off the Roman yoke from the nation of Israel. What a group we see. Judas, the son of James. We don't know anything more about Judas, the son of James. But we do know something about Judas Iscariot. After all the benefit that Jesus provided to him and the time that Judas spent with Jesus, all Judas could see was the silver that was promised him by the Jews in Matthew 27. We see Judas' broken heart, so to speak, and throwing down the silver in the temple and saying, "I betrayed innocent blood," and then he went out and hung himself. We understand. These 12 were chosen by Jesus. Jesus knew them, and they would know Jesus. In a few moments, we'll continue our discussion. Right now, another song.
Shining every day,
all along the way,
there's a rainbow.
There's a rainbow of perfect love
over land and sea.
Shines for you and me.
There's a rainbow.
There's a rainbow of love. There's
a rainbow shining.
Rainbow of love.
With a golden lining.
It's pointing to.
It's always pointing.
Heaven above.
To heaven above.
Shining through.
The clouds that gather.
Every cloud.
In stormy weather.
There's a rainbow.
There's a rainbow of love.
When we cross the tide.
On the other side.
There's a rainbow.
There's a rainbow of perfect love.
Shining.
Shining,
rainbow of love,
with a golden lining,
it's pointing to,
it's always pointing,
heaven above,
to heaven above,
shining through,
the clouds that gather,
every cloud,
in stormy weather,
there's a rainbow,
there's a rainbow of love.
Always pointing
heaven above,
to heaven above,
have Jesus having named these apostles. We have a general idea, very general idea of some of the characteristics of these men. Would they be able to hold together? Would they be able to accomplish what Jesus wanted them to do? Well, that remains to be seen, right? Now, you've studied the balance of the New Testament to some degree. What's your judgment on that? What is your answer to that question? Did they accomplish, in the name of Jesus, what Jesus wanted them to accomplish? Did they drop the ball? Did they accomplish? You know, accomplish is a very strong word. It means bring something to fruition. Now, when we talk about what these men would do throughout time, we've got to understand that, as is said about others in the Scripture, though they are dead, yet they speak. The apostles still speak today. Now, there are not apostles in the church today. These were appointed by Jesus. The requirement outlined in Acts chapter 1 is that of those who have gone with Jesus during the time that he was on the earth, that have been witnesses of him, witnessed his death, his burial, his resurrection, all of these must be requirements for being an apostle. You can't be an apostle today based on the biblical requirements, because you weren't there then. But these still speak. Throughout the balance of the New Testament writings, there are consistent references to these who were apostles and their involvement in various things. In fact, there is an apostle to be named later, Matthias, to replace Judas in Acts chapter 1. There is an apostle to the Gentiles, Paul the apostle. In Acts chapter 9, this is talked about in the balance of the book of Acts. What we understand is that these men, appointed by God, had a very specific purpose. And as we noted in Acts chapter 2 a while ago, they were charged with the proper and correct teaching of what it was that God wanted. Now, you may say, if you hear the word doctrine, that, oh no, here we go, we're going to get in something boring. But understand something here. Doctrine simply means teaching. Don't put off and disrespect the teaching of Jesus, because that is what these men were charged to do. Now, I'm going to give you an assignment, and it's not an assignment that we're going to come back and touch in the program here, but I simply want you to do this. I want you to read the account of the Last Supper in the Gospel of John. Beginning in John chapter 13, going through John chapter 17, we have the conversation that is recorded by John the Apostle, who was there that night. It was recorded by him to have occurred that night. Look for what the apostles were charged with in that time. They were told several things, and you need to be looking for this, that they would be guided into all truth, that they would be able to speak that truth, they would be able to impart that truth. You look for that in John 13 through 17. If you don't do it, shame on you. Now you listen. You need to study and you need to know what's said. These men that were appointed apostles were not idle thoughts on the part of Jesus. They were appointed for a reason. A reason similar to what we study the Bible for today, to know truth and to be set free by the truth that we have gained. I hope that you'll join us next week on the Word of Life and spend some time with us again and study. We'll pick up here in Luke chapter 6 with our study then.